Welcome to Day of Destiny with Dr. Michelle Correll, author, prophetic teacher, and pastor of Breath of the Spirit Prophetic Word Center. Dr. Correll can be seen weekly, nationwide, and around the world on her weekly telecasts that air on God TV, Impact, and Word Network. Now, let's join Dr. Correll by experiencing Day of Destiny, designed with your highest destiny in mind. Now, here is Dr. Correll.
So tonight, as we prepare for Tisha B'Av, I want us to turn to the book of Lamentations. And our subject matter tonight is taken from Lamentations chapter 1. It's the first three verses of Lamentations chapter 1. And we're going to go to it immediately. First, I want to say something about Lamentations. Some of you may say, oh my goodness, it's boring Lamentations. I mean, what can I possibly get out of Lamentations in the year of 2024? All right, I respect the fact that, you know, Lamentations is written, you know, during Tisha B'Av. This is time that our brothers and sisters in Israel read it. And we understand, we acknowledge that. But I mean, really, Dr. Correll, do you have to share it tonight? An answer to that, of course, is yes. You ask, why? Why? What is it going to do for me? I want you to know that the Bible is not a history book. We don't approach the Bible like a newspaper or a textbook. Though the Bible is filled with history, the prophets who wrote the Bible are teaching us in every single word that is coming forth from the Bible. There is nothing in the Bible that is not personal, powerful, prophetic, relevant for you and I this very moment. So on the biblical calendar at this very moment, since the first day of the month of Av, which began last Monday night. This is called until the 9th of Av, which will be Wednesday, the time between the straits. This is a time when in the 21 days of mourning, unless you know Messiah, then the promises that have been given to us from Isaiah, from Jeremiah, from Ezekiel, and from all the minor prophets are active in our lives. We don't have to wait. The promises of restoration, the promises of visitation, especially the promises of divine compensation, if we know what redemption really means. Let me just take a sidebar for one moment to share with you the meaning of redemption. In Jeremiah chapter 32, we see that Jeremiah was in the court of the prison exactly 1 year before Zion, before Jerusalem, before Jerusalem became ground zero. It was in the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, because in the 19th year is when he invaded Jerusalem and made it ground zero. So in the 18th year, exactly 1 year before, the Bible tells us that Jeremiah was in the prison under Zedekiah, who was the last king until Yeshua Messiah takes his throne. Hallelujah. Come on. He was the last king until Yeshua Messiah takes his throne. I can't get an amen in here. I said, he was the last king of Israel reigning in Judah, because the state of Israel now was reduced to Judah and Benjamin. So as he was in the house arrest for being accused for crimes that involve preaching the word of God, because he was politically incorrect, and he refused, of course. No way, shape, or form can you get a prophet to change their message. You can't do that. You can torture. You can put them through trials, tribulations. You can do whatever you want to do, but a prophet will not change his message. Are you with me? And the price Jeremiah paid for the word, it was not only in this prison, but he became a prophet in prison. He was put in the dungeon. He was almost starved to death. They pulled him up days before he starved to death. In the mud, in the mire, not seeing any light of day. But he would not change his word. And he would not become politically correct to please the people. Are you with me? He had to speak what God said to speak, and no man could change it. And for that price, for the price that was paid, Jeremiah still speaks to us today through his teaching in the Bible. This word is filled with the wisdom of God. It's filled with prophetic insight. And so I want you to understand that the last year when he was in the prison, the word of the Lord came to him. I want you to know the word of the Lord never stopped coming to Jeremiah. Whether he's in the prison, whether he's in the dungeon, whether he's in the pit, the word of God continues to come. And he continues to prophesy wherever he is. Every prophet that's a true prophet will prophesy in whatever state of life they are in. You don't have to feel good to prophesy. So while he is in the prison, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, your uncle's son will come to you and he will ask you to buy the land, to redeem it that is in Anathoth, because it is the redemption, it is the right of redemption for you to buy it. Now, I want you to know, Jeremiah knew what was going to happen in Zion. He knew that within months, the place would become burning. Famine and starvation would set in everywhere. He knew, beloved saints, that no one was going to live except a few, that the sword was going to devour. This is why he could not be married. God told him in the beginning of his career, you will not take a wife, because everyone in this place is going to die by the sword. You will not beget sons or daughters, because this place is going to become a desolation. He knew when his cousin came what would become of the land that he was asked to purchase by right of redemption. And so the Bible tells us, as we go back from Lamentations to Jeremiah 32, in this incredible promise that God is giving. Jeremiah, I want to read it to you. Jeremiah chapter 32. And the Bible says, and Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came to me and said, behold, Hanamiel, the son of Shalom, thine uncle, will come to you, saying, buy thee me of the field that is in Anathoth, for it is the right of redemption for you to buy it. So Hanamiel, my uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison, according to the word of the Lord, saying, buy me the field, I pray thee, that is in Anathoth in the country of Benjamin. For the right of inheritance is thine, the redemption is thine, buy it for thyself. And I knew this was the word of the Lord. It is a little difficult for some of us to understand the actual meaning of redemption and what it meant in Jeremiah's day. The word to redeem, or the action of redemption in Hebrew, is called geula. Geula has within it related words. In the word geula is the word goel. And the person who is the redeemer, the person who redeems property, or the person who purchases property, would be called a goel, a redeemer. Now, it was very, very strong laws in the Bible about laws of redemption that many of us in the Western world do not understand. And we see them accentuated and laid out for us in Leviticus 25. In the Yovel year, in the year of Jubilee. Because all property that was redeemed by a goel must be returned to the person who sold it. And when we see this, we think, wow, a real estate transaction. We think they just wanted to sell their property because they wanted more money. But that is not the case. When a person had to sell their inheritance, it meant they were impoverished. It meant, as a last resort, they would be put in a position to take the ancestral property that was actually given to their family as a heritage, as nakla, as an inheritance, as a possession. And it was one of the most shameful, painful experiences that a person would go through. So therefore, God made laws that were extremely stringent, because we serve a God of justice. We serve a God who pleads for the poor. We serve a God who wants us as people to have achdut and to understand one in the spirit, and akreyut. Akreyut means I'm your responsibility, you're my responsibility, and it's my responsibility to make you a responsibility for me. We take care of each other. And then there is arevut. Arevut is not exactly akreyut. Arevut means you're taking the responsibility for an individual, and you're going to pay the price and take the hit. If something is happening to them, you are the guarantor that nothing will happen to that person. Like Mordecai for Esther, he was the guarantor. Like Judah for Benjamin, he was the guarantor. Like Ruth for Naomi, she was the guarantor. See, in the Western world, it's very hard for us to comprehend this aspect of being our neighbor's keeper, of being responsible for one another. And so these laws in Israel were established by the Almighty, so that his glory could dwell over the land. That whenever a member of the family was put in a position that they had to sell their property, then the nearest of kin, but usually an uncle, a dod, an uncle, which also means beloved, would be the one to come and to redeem it. But in this case, it's the dod, it's the uncle who's sending his son, because it's quite embarrassing, to ask Jeremiah to be the goel, to purchase the property. And so you see, in the laws of the Day of Atonement and the 50th year, there's only one time every 50 years that the biblical new year does not begin on Rosh Hashanah. There's only one time of every 50 years that God says we're switching the date. He wrote it in the Torah. That Rosh Hashanah will not begin on 7-1. That the new year will begin on Day of Atonement. And that is the Jubilee year. The Bible says in Leviticus chapter 25, verse 9, and you will sound the trumpet of Jubilee in the 10th day of the 7th month. And the Bible says in verse 10, and you will hallow the 50th year. And you will return every man to his possession, his inheritance, his property, and every man will go back to his family. Why did it have to be on Day of Atonement? Why couldn't it be on Rosh Hashanah? Why couldn't it just be a celebration to take place every 50 years? Why do you have to change it to Day of Atonement? Because it's a prophetic prefiguring of the work of the blood of Jesus. I hope you're hearing this. That the redemptive act of returning you back what the enemy has taken from you is already guaranteed, because he is not only the one who paid the price with his blood, but he is also the goel of your inheritance. He's the redeemer of your land. And it was paid for by Calvary's cross. So that on the day of the sale, the goel would pay a price for the property. So those who were in need immediately got relief. I don't know the details from the Mishnah that would tell us what would happen if the property was tremendously immense and huge like Boaz, and unless you were as wealthy as Boaz, you couldn't afford to pay for the whole thing. I'm sure it came in segments. Boaz was so wealthy, he redeemed three portions. He redeemed the property of Mahlon, the property of Chilion, and the property of Elimelech. And with it came Ruth. So that when the person was receiving the redemption, they would get immediate relief. But on the Yovel year, in the year of Jubilee, they would get back the property on top of the relief. Double for your shame. Somebody ought to say double. Double. Say double. Come on, say double. Double through the blood of Jesus. Come on and worship him. This is why when we see the divine compensation scriptures that are all throughout this time that we celebrate 21 days, but not between the straits. These are times we celebrate 21 days of messianic miracles. That the promise is double for your shame. The promise is I will do better to you than in your beginnings. The promise is I'm going to multiply you on your land. Hallelujah. That the place that you had before was too small and too narrow. Hallelujah. Now there is a psalm that goes with the redemption. Because you see, the redemption of property was, beloved saints, the redemption of property was like an act. It was like an act of God's judgment. And judgment isn't mean judgment. It meant justice. It meant God's defense. And there is a saying in Hebrew that says, defend our cause. And so Psalm 100, I want you to see it. Psalm 119, verse 154, is, you see the words, Reva Revi, defend our cause. Say it with me. Reva Revi, plead for us, O God. Because that meant that when the person was going to sell their inheritance, they were asking God, plead my cause. But actually, the way Psalm 154 reads is not only revi, to plead my cause, but it also means, if you will, revi revanu, defend our cause. Reverse this situation, O God. Reva revanu, defend our cause. Now watch this. And rightfully award damages. I said, the prayer is, rightfully award me damages. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm about to get damages. I'm about to get compensated for damages. Come on.
Thank you for joining us today on Day of Destiny. We invite you to our website at mydayofdestiny.com, where you can easily access other podcasts and obtain your copy of Dr. Corral's latest book, Secrets of the Anointing. Also, we want to take this moment to invite you to engage in extending your hand of kindness by planting your seed or offering for multitudes that include orphans, providing water wells, providing medical supplies, clinics, feeding programs, and many other services to the suffering church, and through efforts of evangelism worldwide. Just go to our website and click the donate button or text to give. Text HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D, to 7797. That's HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D, to 7797. You are also invited to visit Dr. Michelle Corral Facebook or Instagram. We look forward to having you encounter the anointing with us on our next Day of Destiny podcast.